السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستهديه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلن تجد له وليا مرشدا وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له شهادة عبده وابن عبده وابن أمته ومن لا غنى به طرفة عين عن رحمته وأصلي وأسلم على الرحمة المهداة والنعمة المسداة محمد بن عبد الله وعلى آله وصحبه وجنده وحزبه والتابعين لهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وعنا معهم بفضلك وكرمك ومنك ورحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين ويا رب العالمين إن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وإن شر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار وما قل وكفى خير مما كثر وألهى وما أنتم بمعجزين في الأرض أما بعد. In the name of Allah, most graceful, most merciful, I bear witness there is no God worthy of worship except Allah the Almighty. I bear witness that Allah the Almighty, He sent His prophets and messengers to guide us from darkness to light. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this beautiful day of Jum'ah, in this rainy weather, a weather where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is answering our dua, Ya Allah, send your salawat upon all the prophets and messengers you sent from Adam alayhi salam to Nuh alayhi salam to Ibrahim alayhi salam to Musa alayhi salam to Isa alayhi salam to the final prophet and seal of prophethood Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this beautiful day of Jum'ah, Ya Allah, send your salawat upon Muhammad, the house of Muhammad, the companions of Muhammad, and the wives of Muhammad, and the followers of Muhammad, and Ya Allah, in this beautiful day of Jum'ah, Ya Allah, make us among the followers of Muhammad. Ya Allah, resurrect us from Muhammad. Ya Allah, make us a drink from the hand of our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from Hawd al-Kawthar, Ya Allah, in the day of judgment. Ya Allah, make Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he looks at us, he recognizes us among this his ummah. Ya Allah, don't despair us. Don't give us, you know, don't give us false hope. Ya Allah, fix our iman and faith. And Ya Allah, we're too close to Ramadan. Don't make Ramadan come upon us without us being forgiven and given the chance and the opportunity to take advantage of the month of Ramadan. Allahumma ameen. Brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks in the Quran about the month of Ramadan and every khutbah, every masjid that you go to, everybody talking about the month of Ramadan. I want to focus about one aspect that I believe is so important in the connection between Ramadan and the Quran. Ramadan and the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the ayat of the month of Ramadan or ayat of fasting in Surah Al-Baqarah, when he talks about the month of Ramadan, he says, شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن هدى للناس وبينات من الهدى والفرقان. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues the ayat saying, what should we do when the month of Ramadan approaches? But I want to stop with the first line of this verse, of this ayah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ramadan is the month in which the Quran was revealed. So we know the Quran was revealed in the month of Ramadan. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in Surah Al-Qadr, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Inna anzalnahu fi laylatil qadr. Indeed, we have sent this Quran down upon the night of Qadr, the night of glory, the night of power, which happened in the month of Ramadan. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Dukhan, Allah started the surah by saying, Hamim wal kitab al-mubin, inna anzalnahu fi laylatin mubarakah, inna kunna mundhirin. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala swears by the clear book, by the Quran, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, inna anzalnah, indeed we sent the Quran upon you in a blessed night. Inna kunna mundhirin. We are always warning against evil. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we know, revealed the Quran in the month of Ramadan. And the month and the nights that the Quran was a blessed month. But what's the connection between the month of ibadah, the month of worshiping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the month of fasting and the Quran itself? Why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose the month of Ramadan to be that month? What's the significant? Why it's so important? And for us, and for our masajid, our community, the Muslims around the world, they understand this fully. In a sense, when it comes to Ramadan, people compete to recite the Quran and to compete in khatamat. And every masjid, they're trying to finish khatm al-Quran. And every masjid, when it comes to the night of khatm al-Quran, mashallah, the masjid is full of people. And the masajid will host the speakers to talk about each juz and each night and verses from the Quran so people can understand what the imams are talking about. So we spend the month of Ramadan connecting ourselves to the Quran. Why we spend our time connected to the month of Quran, to the Quran, hoping that after the month of Ramadan, we will continue having this connection. We'll continue having this relationship with the Quran. So we take advantage of the month of Ramadan, the month of Quran, the month of fast, to spend it standing in Taraweeh, reciting, listening to the recitation of the Quran. But is that it? Is that what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants from us? Or there is something more we have to look into more deeply. Every single one of us that the Quran touches in a different way. The way you recite the Quran and your way you understand the ayat of the Quran and how the ayat applies to your daily life different than how the ayat apply to my daily life. The struggles that I go through and the struggles that you go through and what you have in this life and what I don't have in this life different than each other. So the ayat of the Quran meant for us to be very individualistic, to mean something for us. Yes, there is the barakah and the reward that we get from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But when we listen to this, there is something that for us we have to take and implement in our daily lives. We know from the Sahaba radiallahu anhum that the ayat used to be revealed upon Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they will memorize the ayat slowly. Where they get the chance, when they memorize the ayat, they implement them in their lives. And this is something that we have to think of. And we have to read the Quran in that way, in that sense. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Muhammad, he talks about the hypocrites. And he says something very, very powerful about them. He says, أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنَ أَمْ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبٍ أَغْفَالُهَا. Don't they reflect upon the Quran? Or are their hearts locked? Or their hearts there is locked upon their hearts. So when the Quran be recited upon them, they cannot understand. Doesn't move them. Doesn't feel them. They don't feel it. They don't move because of that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, before this ayah, he says something so powerful. He says, أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ لَعَنَهُمُ اللَّهُ فَأَصَمَّهُمْ وَأَعْمَى أَبْصَارَهُمْ. The hypocrites, those people, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cursed them. And when he did that, asammahum, he made them deaf, they cannot listen, they cannot hear. Wa'ama absarahum, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made them blind. So when the Quran is recited upon them, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Afala yatadabbaruna al-Quran? Can they not reflect upon the ayat of the Quran? But why they cannot reflect upon the ayat of the Quran? Because they cannot hear. They cannot see. even though they have these senses and they can see through that, but they cannot feel the Quran. And brothers and sisters, this is something very dangerous. When the ayat of the Quran goes upon us and we cannot reflect upon the meanings of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants from us. So we must, when we recite the Quran, we recite the Quran for the barakah, for the ajr, for the reward, but we must recite the Quran with tadabbur and tafakkur, deep reflection and deep understanding. And we must look beyond what the words and to look into what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala really wants from us and how we can implement this in our daily lives. And then when we understand that, when we see this and we can reflect upon, we will see our life changes. And we will see the relationship that the Quran will change. Because every day we want something new. Every day we want to look our life differently. Every day we would like to take some lesson from the Quran to implement in our daily lives. And one of the very, I find a profound, powerful concepts in the Quran, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran used the terminology or the term, alam tara. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, about 31 times in the Quran, he talks about, when he talks to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, alam tara, haven't you seen Muhammad? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will mention something. Have you seen Muhammad? In most of the ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talking about something that didn't happen, or it's going to happen in the future, or something happened in the past that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not witness. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala telling Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, haven't you seen? But you haven't witnessed that. What is the example, famous example from that? A surah that almost everybody memorized, Surah Al-Fil. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, alam tara kayfa fa'ala rabbuka bi ashab al-fil. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, haven't you seen what Allah have done to the people of the elephant? Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was born that year. And there is narration that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was born 40 days after the incident of the elephant. And we know the story. So Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, definitely he never witnessed that incident. But then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when you look at the Quran, how does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talk to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to talk about the incident? He said, haven't you seen it? When you are talking to your friend about an event that happens around you or happened around you, and everybody knows about this event, what you would say to your friend, haven't you seen? As a fact, as something is a fact. And Allah imagine Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaking. Imagine Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talking. Definitely had happened. We might not have seen it, or definitely it will happen in the future. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he talks about other people and what's going to happen to them in the future, he says to Muhammad, alam tara. And this is upon us to reflect upon. So we have to take an important lesson in this ayah. And I want you just to imagine to reflect upon this ayah only. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, alam tara, haven't you seen? And the scholars, they say something too, very important. He said, first of all, Allah meant in this ayah, haven't you learned? Haven't you been told about this incident? Have you learned about it? That's number one. And second of all, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying it as a fact. If you haven't seen it, no, it's a fact that it's definitely happened. And I'm telling you, Muhammad, it will happen. Alam tara Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one of the ayat he's talking about, have you seen that to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, everything in the universe makes sujood? Can we see the thing that makes sujood to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? We cannot see that. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is stating it as a fact to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that it is a fact, that everything in the universe will make sujood to Allah and making sujood to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a way that we don't see. And we cannot see maybe, but it's a fact that we have to understand. And we have to see the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us about with our own hearts, not with our own eyes. And this is what the scholars, they call basira, being insightful. Being insightful that you see beyond what you can see, beyond what's in front of you, beyond the words, beyond what people tells you. You can see deeper than that. And this is something very important because everybody can see because we have the senses. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talked about the hypocrites. What did he talk about them? Surah Muhammad, we just mentioned that. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make them deaf and make them not able to see. But they have their senses, they have their eyes, the physical eyes, they have them. But can they see? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took the basira from them, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنِ. They cannot reflect upon the ayat of the Quran. And that takes us to a very powerful ayah. This ayah from Surah Al-A'raf. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talking about Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The incident is that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam conveying to the people of Mecca. And there were a lot of disbelievers, idol worshippers, who denied the message of Muhammad. They fought against the message of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says something about them. وَإِن تَدْعُهُمْ إِلَى الْهُدَى لَا يَسْمَعُوا. And if you call upon them to the guidance, they don't hear. They don't listen. Because they don't want to listen, right? We can listen and ignore. And that happens, especially if you're a parent and you have younger kids. You definitely learn how to ignore your kids. Because they're going to keep nagging you. And you learn that. So those people of those Meccan, when the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam called them upon the guidance, what did they do? They didn't hear. They acted as if they didn't hear. But then the second part of the verse, I find it so powerful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَتَرَاهُمْ يَنْظُرُونَ إِلَيْكَ وَهُمْ لَا يُبْصِرُونَ. Ya Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and you see them looking at you, but they cannot see. Oh Muhammad, you see them, all their senses toward you. But why they cannot, why would Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say, وَهُمْ لَا يُبْصِرُونَ? Because they cannot see you. They cannot see the basira. They cannot see the guidance. They cannot fulfill that guidance. They cannot go toward it. Because their hearts been locked. That's what happened to their hearts. They decided to lock their hearts from the dhikr that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam bring upon them. And brothers and sisters, this is a small analogy I'm trying to create here. How many khatib will stand here to talk about the month of Ramadan until the day of Eid? And we'll talk up all the blessings of the month of Ramadan. Our hearts either will have locks upon them or the locks are open. And we can listen and hear what people are saying to us about the month of Ramadan. And how we take advantage of that month. Because we all know how to do it. But those who are listening to the guidance, who are being called upon the guidance, to go to the guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but they don't listen. They're distracted. They decided not to do. They see Ramadan. Some of us, as the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said it, I remember Sheikh Yasir Burgess a few weeks ago when he was in his member, he mentioned this hadith. When Jibreel alayhi salam came to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was standing on the minbar, he said, Ameen, Ameen, Ameen. And one of the Ameens that Jibreel alayhi salam making dua, and Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying, Ameen, to what? The person who Ramadan approached him and Ramadan left him, وَلَمْ يُغْفَرْ لَهُ. And he wasn't forgiven. Allah did not forgive him. And Jibreel alayhi salam said, رَغِمَ أَنْفُهُ مَنْ أَدْرَكَ رَمَضَانِ وَلَمْ يُغْفَرْ لَهُ. He's a loser. رَغِمَ أَنْفُهُ, it's a terminology in Arabic at that time in the people of Jahiliyyah to humiliate some other person, they will take their nose and put them in the ground. I humiliate you and you humiliate me if you do something like this to me. So you are humiliated and for the month of Ramadan pass upon you and you're not forgiven. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at the beginning, if you remember the ayat of Sahur Ramadan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Shahru Ramadan alladhi unzila fihi al-Qur'an. Hudan linnas. Qur'an is what? Guidance. So now we are called upon the month of Ramadan to follow the guidance. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talk later on about, in Surah Al-A'raf, about those who don't want to follow the guidance. وَإِن تَدْعُهُمْ إِلَى الْهُدَىٰ لَا يَسْمَعُونَ. If you call upon them to the guidance, they don't listen. وَتَرَاهُمْ يَنْظُرُونَ إِلَيْكَ وَهُمْ لَا يُبْصِرُونَ. And they're living the month of Ramadan. They are fasting. They see everybody celebrating, enjoying, eating, doing everything in the month of Ramadan. But they cannot see the benefit. They're not gaining of the benefit from the month of Ramadan. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not to make us among those people. Because this is a dangerous status that we get in. And we have less than 2 weeks to prepare ourselves to take advantage fully of the month of Ramadan. أقول ما تسمعون واستغفر الله لي ولكم فاستغفروه إنه الغفور الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين ولا عدوان إلا على الظالمين وأصلي وأسلم على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. Brothers and sisters, in the same manner that I mentioned to you the first khutbah about taking life into looking at life in a deeper meanings and finding the meanings of it, I want to share with you a story. About a week ago exactly, I was overseas, specifically in Turkey, by the Syrian borders, checking the cities, and the area was affected by the earthquake that happens on February 6th. While being there, driving through all the cities, I drove through five cities, five of the 11 affected cities. I was too close to the Syrian border to see what happened even across the side in Syria. I start thinking beyond what I see. Because I can explain to you there was so much devastating and so much destruction and damages. And I can take all the videos and I have them on my phone if you're interested to see. It's beyond imagination. But you all scan the same thing if you go online and Google and you see all the same images, same things that are happening there. You can all see that. But the stories and the people that I have met, I can tell you something very important that changed my life. We met a lady in the city of Samandag, and you have to understand, South Turkey in the province of Hatay, majority people originally Arab, they speak Arabic, but they're Turkish citizen. And we were easy for us to communicate with them. And this beautiful auntie, old lady in her 60s, speaking about won't leave her house, living in a tent next to her house. She lost six of her family members in the building, and six were saved. And wallahi, you get close, you can smell the blood still. We start talking to her. She started crying at the beginning. And wallahi, she said something I wouldn't forget. She said something like this. She said, Amrullah, the command of Allah on our heart and on our hearts. We won't complain. This is the amr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon us. And we accept. How hard for us sometimes to be in that difficult of situation. And we say, why Allah me? Why, ya Allah, you chose me for this? You could have chosen someone else. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose to save her and her husband. Six of her family members and cousins and relatives died under. Six were saved and in the hospital. And I show you the video. I have the video with me. And she said, this is the command of Allah. This is what Allah had decided upon us. I accept. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sometimes when he tests people, he knows who he's testing. Allah, all the time, he knows who he's testing. And for us to take the example of that. And that's one story. It changed the way I think. It changed the way I looked at the disaster. It changed everything that I've seen around me. I said, there are people with all type of difficulties, they still didn't complain. They accept what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had upon them. So brothers and sisters, let's look at our situations nowadays. Let's see what kind of difficulty you're going through. Wallahi billahi, it's not like those people there we saw. They insist to stay in a tent next to their homes. Even though they can have an apartment in a different city, they refused. They want to stay next to their homes. They want to stay there until the situation, which is the situation cannot be better until maybe a year or 2 years. They can go back to their homes, but they want to stay in their areas. They want to stay in their homes. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tests them for a reason. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is testing you for a reason. Dig deep inside your heart and find that reason. And then you will do the full taslim. You will submit fully to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when you submit fully to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whatever happened after that, that's it. It's not going to upset you. It's not going to make you sad. It's not going to make you mad because you're with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Be like that lady. Submit yourself to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Accept the qadr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us, to forgive our families, to forgive our parents and spouses and children, ya Allah. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be with everybody who is tested all around the world, ya Allah. Allahumma kum ma'ahum. اللهم كن معهم اللهم صبرهم اللهم صبرهم اللهم لا تكن عليهم اللهم تقبل موتاهم في الشهداء يا رب العالمين اللهم تقبل موتاهم في الشهداء يا رب العالمين اللهم اشف مرضاهم اللهم اشف جرحاهم يا رب العالمين اللهم اطعمهم يا رب العالمين واسقهم برحمتك يا ارحم الراحمين ويا رب العالمين اللهم اغفر لنا ذنوبنا وإسرافنا في أمرنا، وكفر عنا سيئاتنا، وتوفنا مع الأبرار. اللهم بلغنا رمضان، اللهم بلغنا رمضان، اللهم بلغنا رمضان، اللهم اجعلنا من الفائزين في رمضان يا رب العالمين. اللهم لا تجعلنا من أولئك الذين رغمت أنوفهم في رمضان يا رب العالمين. اللهم بلغنا رمضان وعنا فيه على الصلاة والقيام وقراءة القرآن يا رب العالمين. اللهم تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم، وتب علينا يا مولانا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. اللهم ارحم موتانا واشف مرضانا واختم بالصالحات أعمالنا. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي، يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وآل إبراهيم، وبارك على محمد وآل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين، إنك حميد مجيد. إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. فاذكروا الله العظيم يذكركم، واشكروه على آلائه ونعمه يزدكم، ولذكر الله أكبر، والله يعلم ما تصنعون. وأقم الصلاة.
الله أكبر، الله أكبر، أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله، أشهد أن محمد رسول الله. حي على الصلاة، حي على الفلاح، قد قامت الصلاة، قد قامت الصلاة. الله أكبر، الله أكبر، لا إله إلا الله.
Shoulder, shoulder, foot to foot. جزاكم الله خير. رحم الله امرئ ساوى نفسه. الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الرحمن الرحيم، مالك يوم الدين، إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين، اهدنا الصراط المستقيم، صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. آمين. قل لو كان البحر مدادا لكلمات ربي لنفد البحر قبل أن تنفد كلمات ربي ولو جئنا بمثله مددا. قل إنما أنا بشر مثلكم يوحى إلي أنما إلهكم إله واحد، فمن كان يرجو لقاء ربه فليعمل عملا صالحا، فليعمل عملا صالحا ولا يشرك بعبادة ربه أحدا. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الرحمن الرحيم، مالك يوم الدين، إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين، اهدنا الصراط المستقيم، صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. آمين. ويقولون متى هذا الوعد إن كنتم صادقين قل إنما العلم عند الله وإنما أنا نذير مبين فلما رأوه زلفة سيئت وجوه الذين كفروا وقيل هذا الذي كنتم به تدعون قل أرأيتم إن أهلكني الله ومن معي أو رحمنا فمن يجير الكافرين من عذاب أليم قل هو الرحمن آمنا به وعليه توكلنا فستعلمون من هو في ضلال مبين قل أرأيتم إن أصبح ماؤكم غورا فمن يأتيكم بماء معين الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر السلام عليكم ورحمة الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله استغفر الله استغفر
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. May Allah bless you all. I especially want to welcome students from various schools. They are coming with the leadership of our friend at Turner. We wish you a, we welcome you here at the Islamic Society, and we hope you'll have a good time to understand our faith, our community. And thank you for coming here. Also, we pray for all the people who are not well and those who passed away, especially those whose names are mentioned here. Brother Muhammad Rafi, Brother Haysam Bundukhchi, Brother Aliuddin Muhammad, Brother Muhammad Ainuddin, Brother Ijaz Hussain, Brother Muhammad, Brother Abdul Qadir Simji, Brother Shaukat Hussain, and Sister Arusa Anam Khalid. May Allah give them shifa. May Allah give them shifa. Allahumma shfihim ya Allah. Allahumma shfihim ya Allah. Also dua maghfira for brother Budlain Saleh, sister Muna Ara Chaudhry, brother Mahfouz Ahmed, brother Faisal Sethi, and sister Azghari Begum. May Allah give them maghfira. Allahumma ghfir lahum wa rahamhum wa afihim wa afu anhum. Allahumma akrim nuzulahum ya Allah. Also dua for dua shifa for sister Nafreesha Ayyub, Cable family. May Allah bless you all. Barakallahu feekum. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Good.